There was nothing more mesmerizing in this world than the twin barrels of a 12-gauge shotgun staring down at you. Jim could hardly take his eyes off them. He kept his voice soft. "What seems to be the problem here, Virgil?" Virgil squinted at him. His thin cheeks were sunken, his eyes hollow. "Jim Chopin?" The shotgun began to lower. "That's right," Jim said, risking a step forward and halting when the barrel jerked back up again. He grabbed a quick look over Virgil's shoulder, and what he thought he saw made his blood run cold. "Virgil," he said urgently, "put the gun down. Now." Virgil shook his head.
"I am very sorry to disobey an officer of the law, but I cannot do that, Jim Chopin. My Thelma, she would not like that."
"Put it down, Virgil."
Jim saw Virgil's knuckle tighten on the trigger and felt sweat pop out on his forehead.
"At least tell me why," he said. "Why, Virgil?"
Virgil looked behind Jim, and Jim dared a glance backward. Virgil was looking at the house, at the second floor, where the light was on and a woman, Jim guessed Thelma, was brushing her hair.
"Because, Jim Chopin, love doth make fools of us all."
And he fired. Involuntarily, Jim closed his eyes. There was no blast. He opened his eyes again. Virgil fired the other barrel. Jim flinched, but again, no shot. The shotgun was empty. Virgil sighed.
"I guess I forgot to reload."
Jim had the shotgun out of his hands and Virgil on the ground with his hands cuffed behind his back in 30 seconds. In the next second, he was up and running for the hole in the garden.
"Oh, God," he said in an agonized whisper. "No, no, no, no."
He stumbled into the hole and began digging in the dirt with both hands. Flesh and fur both showed. His heart was beating so hard in his ears that he couldn't hear, and he couldn't get enough air into his lungs.
"No,"
was all he could say, over and over again.
"No, no, no, no."
He got Kate out first, so covered in dirt and blood he hardly recognized her. He shoved her out of the pit and scrambled up beside her. She was warm to the touch. Thank God she was warm. He put his ear to her mouth and remembered to count to five. Nothing. He beat back panic and tried for a pulse in her neck, forced himself to count off 10 seconds. Nothing.
"No,"
he said. He forced his thumbs into her cheeks, opening her mouth, and sucked out the dirt and spat. Once. Twice. He pulled her head back to create an airway and started CPR.
15 and 2. 15 and 2. 15 and 2. "Not too hard. Don't want to break any ribs. Get the air into the lungs, into the brain. 15 and 2. 15 and 2. 15 and 2.
He looked up and saw Johnny standing in front of them, a stricken look on his face.
"Get Mutt,"
he said, jerking his head, and went back to breathing for Kate. He seemed to have been doing CPR forever. He had nearly given up hope, when her breast rose and fell on its own. She choked, and then she coughed, and then she puked, a gory mass of coffee and cookie chunk with plenty of dirt in it. He turned her to her side, and then he puked too, right next to her, on his hands and knees like a dog. Like a dog. He turned and saw that Johnny had somehow managed to muscle Mutt out of the pit. She looked as bad as Kate did, but she was breathing on her own.
"Stay with them," Jim said, and got to his feet.
The boy, dumb, kneeled between woman and dog, his face wet with tears, as Jim jumped over Virgil and ran for the crew cab.